paid into Medicare for decades. Don't spend retirement limping. The Joint Relief Institute treats joint pain fast. It's covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000.
Well, good evening, or good morning. I'm Mark Carmen. Nick D off tonight. Esmeralda already yelling at me in my headphones.
I was just asking, what happened to Manu Chao?
Well, you know, this is a special night tonight, Esmeralda, as we're going to make history. We're starting a university. We're here till 5. We got a lot to do, but very important start to the show. Welcome in at 720 WGN. And we're creating Carmen University tonight, Esmeralda. We got to—I don't know what Dan Long just played. I asked for "Hold On Tight to Your Dreams," which was—I asked about that for like 30 seconds ago. So
yeah,
Dan
couldn't pull it up in a pinch.
What was that tune?
It was the theme from School of Rock.
Yeah, the School of Rock.
Jack Black that he played with the kids.
School of Rock theme, Esmeralda. You jerk! Come on now.
What I didn't. I was asking about a completely different song from the song you even asked.
I know you wanted a little. What was the name of that tune?
It's Me Gustas.
Oh yeah, Me Gustas too. Yeah. You wanted Me Gustas.
Were jamming on that for a good
month. That was a special night when we got to be together and play Me Gustas too, because Barack Obama had that on his set list. Me Gustas too. We'll get it in here. We'll have Me Gustas too coming back for the next segment. Is that cool? Are you down? So I don't want to lose you early in the show here. I need your support. You know that, right?
Right.
Thank you. Hey, all right. So, listen, I want to start a university. It feels a little bit out over my skis to start Carmen University. But I think with everything going on in the world right now, we do need to be just that much more educated. So Carmen University, I mean, this is not going to be an accredited university or college. You're not going to get any college credit. We're not going to grant you any degrees. We're not going to grade you. But we have created, at least in my mind, a great sheet of paper, the best sheet of paper, an incredible sheet of paper that we're going to email to you, we're going to mail to you, we'll get to you somehow. Dan Long is working on this.
What's the weight?
It's a great weight. I'm not exactly sure what the exact weight is. It's a really, really, really good weight, an outstanding weight. Say it again?
Cardstock?
Sure. Absolutely. I don't know what that means, but it's that. It's an incredible, incredible weight. It's a weight that you've never experienced in your life. And I'm just looking for people who are really great at things. If you can sell me right now that you're great at something, then I'm happy to give you this degree, this honorary degree from Carmen University. Now, there are certain areas, as I was thinking about my life, where I deserve this honorary degree. Like, if I could give you a degree in intermediate level tennis, we can drive down that road. Because, you know, I mean, I've got a decent forehand, I've got a decent backhand, I've been playing tennis now, you know, basically my whole life, Dan Long. And I never played in college, I didn't even play in high school. And I certainly didn't make it on the pro level. But if we stepped on the recreational tennis court, I mean, I consider myself, in Carmen University terms, to be at degree level. Like, that's something that I'm an expert in, that I should have on my wall. Carmen University, intermediate tennis, 4.0 level, played in some tournaments. That should hang. If I had an office, I don't have an office. I have, somewhere that I prepare for the show somewhere at WGN, that could hang there. I could also give you a degree, Esmeralda, maybe you want this degree. I was thinking a degree in basic broadcasting. I mean, I am.
Wow, thanks.
Right? Basic broadcasting. Well, maybe you think you deserve an advanced degree there. I don't know.
At least an intermediate.
Right. Well, I'm just going basic for myself. Like, I know how to turn on the microphone. Like, I've learned how to do that. I turned on my microphone tonight.
Can you do reverb?
Nope.
That's advanced.
See, right. I don't know how to do that. If you know how to do that.
I don't know. There's a button on there somewhere.
Right. I mean, I can turn on the mic. I can put a show together. Like, this segment is Carmen University. We've got other things coming up on the program tonight. We don't need to really delve into that because I feel like people are just going to jump on board. But, I mean, I am going to talk about, like, a new dating experience that I had recently that involved blackjack, which is very interesting. That'll come up later in the show. I am going to talk about Michael Jordan being at the White House, my hero, and being given the Presidential Medal of Freedom. I am going to talk about the travesty that's going on in high school football later in the show. Like, I can put a show together. That's something that goes into my basic broadcasting degree. Other reasons, basic broadcasting, things that I was thinking about that I can do. I can read the text line, 312-981-7200. I know how to take phone calls, 312-981-7200. I think in basic broadcasting, you have to know how to get fired and then to get hired again. You ever been fired, Esmeralda?
Yeah,
me too. So, right, you get fired, you get hired again. That in basic broadcasting, you got to know how to do that, right?
And you got to be real lucky if you haven't.
Right. And then you also, you know, have to be able to, you know, work any shift that is offered. Hey, Carm, can you fill in on what it will be Wednesday, November the 23rd for Nick D and be ready to go? And on 1 hour, 2 hours sleep. By the way, I am working on like 1 hour and 38 minutes of sleep right now. So however the show goes, it I'm willing to just submit right now. I'll take like a drop of sympathy at some point if I say something that's not coherent. So and also, you know, when you're working in radio, I don't complain about management. I love management. Management's great to me, right? Some people in radio, they complain about upper management. I would never do that, which is, I think, part of getting a basic degree in broadcasting. Like, I love Todd Manley. I love Stephanie Menendez. I love Steve Cochran. I love Ro Khan. I love Dave Bennett. All the people that I consider to be my bosses. Like, I feel like I've got 100 bosses. How many bosses do you have, Esmeralda?
27,
right. So, 312-981-7200. That's the phone number. I would like to give you a degree to Carmen University. Steve wants to be the first ever student slash graduate to Carmen University. And I think he's got a level. Good evening, Steve. How are you?
Happy turkey.
Happy turkey to you, Steve. Happy holidays.
Yeah, I want to get the Bachelor's of Science degree for limo driving. I think I'm the greatest. And I tell people that I'm in risk management in the transportation industry. So that's a degree right there.
Well, hold on, Steve. Before I hand you out this very prestigious degree at Carmen University, how many years have you been driving this limo?
Well, not this particular one, but let's say on and off in the industry, 36 years.
36 years.
Since 1980.
That's a long time, Steve. I mean, this is you might have got to get an upper level degree now.
I'm going to have to stop and use the washroom one of these days.
Right. Now, have you ever picked up anybody super famous?
Gail Sayers, my friend, Gail Sayers.
How was Gail to deal with?
He was awesome.
Yeah.
He was doing an autograph signing.
Mm-hmm.
But that's like patient-doctor confidentiality.
You're right. Stop me if I'm going too far here. And have you ever been in any accidents?
No.
No accidents. Well, I mean,
I'm watching out for lightning right now. Hold on. What if somebody hit me? Does that count?
That counts in the fact that you weren't at fault and you were able to keep the rig on the road and not injure anybody.
Yeah.
You know that. Yeah. You know.
Yeah, safety first, my friend.
Steve.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Ooh, awesome!
You're the first ever graduate at Carmen University. You didn't have to come to a free weekend and then be upselled for $1,500 for 3 days and then the $35,000 gold package. How does it feel?
All right, I get that check in the mail, 35 G's, you said?
No check in the mail, but I'm not going to charge you to come into a program where I'm going to make up something and act like it's real. So this is a win for you, Steve. Can you feel the victory?
Well, thanks, Nick. I always wanted to be on the Nick DiGiulio show, so you're doing a wonderful job there, Nick.
Thank you, Steve. All right, man. All right. Hang on.
Have a good day. Thank you.
You got it. I think he thinks he's talking to Nick D.
I think he got a minor in Nick D.
He got a minor in Nick D. Does he know that was me? Does he know he's talking to Mark Carmen? That might be a blow. I mean, Carmen University, Nick D, I'm in for Nick D, but I'm not Nick D.
That's the side school.
Oh, that's a – okay. Right.
The Nick D school?
Yeah. Dan's telling me I need to break, but I don't know. It's the overnight. Let me just get one more in here, Dan. It's okay. Right? I think we're all right. Right, Esmeralda. Gina, welcome to Carmen University and 720 WGN. Thank you for calling.
Mr. Carmen, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great, Gina. How are you?
Not too bad. Just got off work a little while ago.
What do you do, Gina?
I work at a book printing company.
Very cool. Very cool. What's the latest book that you printed?
Oh, let's see. We did one on Nordic runes this evening.
Don't know what that means. Seems serious.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you want?
It really is.
Are you calling to get a degree at Carmen University, Gina?
I think I'm probably qualified for one because I used to work with a woman who said that there are some people that logic and reason do not work with,
mm-hmm.
and those people need slap therapy. She said I would be a great slap therapist. We all got T-shirts that said, registered slap therapist, and we would wear them at work. And I'm thinking I need a degree in slap therapy.
Have you ever slapped someone, Gina?
Once. Only because they desperately needed it. Other people I've basically been able to convince that they needed to change their thinking, as it were.
I see.
Or at least their actions.
Do you feel comfortable enough sharing the situation where you slap someone? Remember that it's 2:20 in the morning. They're probably not listening.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was an ex-boyfriend of mine that I found out was actually not only seeing someone else at the same time, he'd gotten engaged to her.
Oh, that's worth at least one slap. Was this a multiple slap?
Yeah,
absolutely.
No, it was just it was this side of a pimp slap, but not quite.
Right.
So,
I mean, I'm not pro-violence and all, but in that type of situation, one little slap on a seeing someone never told me getting engaged. I'm with you, Gina. That's cool.
Yeah. He needed it desperately.
All right. How would you like us to deliver this piece of this valuable, the best, the greatest sheet of paper that says Carmen University that's not worth really anything? How would you like that to be sent to you?
I think snail mail would probably
snail
work
mail.
Well
okay.
for that.
We can do snail mail. Dan Long, you good with snail mail?
Fine by me.
All right. Gina, congratulations.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Thank you, sir.
All right. We'll talk to you soon, Gina. You're a proud graduate. Yeah. Yeah.
Have a good Thanksgiving.
You as well, Gina. Happy holidays to you. Enjoy your turkey. 312-981-7200. I think this is going great. We got two graduates through one segment, and we're just getting more and more educated here. I've got some other areas of expertise that I'd like to share with you coming on back here. And don't forget, we're with you all night long here on 720 WGN. There we go with a little me gustas, too. Esmeralda left the studio. Maybe she's mad at me. But this is on the Barack Obama playlist. I think this was his afternoon list. He had like a nighttime list, an afternoon list. I love me gustas, too. Hey, welcome in. It's 720 WGN, and I'm Mark Carmen sitting in for Nick D tonight with you till 5. We got to talk about our holiday plans coming up here because I don't know if you're aware, but Thanksgiving is Thursday. Today is actually Wednesday, so that would mean that Thanksgiving is tomorrow, and people are going to be hanging out with their parents. They're going to be hanging out with their cousins. There's going to be families coming together, and I'm a big guy. At least I enjoy my Twitter, and one of the things trending tonight on Twitter was hashtag how to avoid politics at dinner, and I'm invited to, we're having the Carmen family dinner. We're eating out this year. My dad is putting together the extravaganza, and we've got people coming from both sides of the old family, whatnot. So it's going to be a nice little gathering. But I'm also invited to a person that I used to work with, and I know that that person probably wants to be speaking politics at the old dinner table. And I know that we do not agree on our politics. So the last time this happened and I was invited, I have good self-control, Dan Long. I can not necessarily engage.
Of course.
But the last time I was invited over there for dinner, my father was invited as well. He does not have the same self-control. And I knew that at some point in time, it was all going to come to a boiling head there, and that's exactly what happened. And, you know, my extended family, my dad, have not been invited back. But I did get an invite, so I said, maybe I'd stop by for dessert. But this certain gentleman, he's calling me up every day, or very often at least, and just trolling me about what's going on. You see the Dow? You see the market? It's flying up. It's flying up. Look at how great he's doing. And I'm like, I want to know what people think as far as should Thanksgiving be about, should politics be allowed at the old table? Because even if it is just your family, I mean, I'm just a friend coming over, but people have friends at the table. I mean, is that a welcomed conversation? How do you get into that conversation? Do you play nice in that conversation? It is Thanksgiving. We should be thankful. We should be coming together. All that going on, right? So let's do that after 2:30. How do you handle your Thanksgiving dinner as far as the political climate that we're in right now? Because it's on the front of everyone's mind. .720 WGN, good morning, 2:36, I'm Mark Carmen. Nick D off tonight, off this week. Esmeralda, you're hosting tomorrow, are you not?
Yes, with John Hansen.
Tomorrow and the next day, whatever right. That would be.
So, Thanksgiving and Black Friday.
So you're hosting Thursday and Friday. We went over this yesterday. Carm, you're on Wednesday. Or so whatever you said. Today's Tuesday, even though it's Wednesday.
I did say Wednesday.
Yeah. So, but you're on the next two nights with John Hansen. Very exciting.
Yes.
All right. A lot of people are texting in wanting degrees to Carmen University. So I don't want to cut these people off. 779. I'm the best at waiting on Gale Sayers, Brian Piccolo, Mike Ditka, and Dick Butkus at Sharks West on 63rd Street. There's a plug for you. So congratulations to you. Only Gail and Brian were gentlemen. They love the steak and the lobster. They love mucho libations. Billy.
You should be wearing one of those poofy graduation hats.
Billy, congratulations. I mean, you are an expert in waiting tables on some of the older bears who are still going out and having a good time. That's a degree right there. Hey, Karen, back in the day, I was a teacher before diagnosed with MS. Great in front of the classroom, interesting and passionate. My skills on the record are keeping and grading papers, and that got better as I went along. I would love a PhD in getting the point across and by the skin of my teeth. You apps 219, you are in. You have a degree, an expert degree, in being a teacher at Carmen University.
What's the highest you can go? Can you get a PhD?
Sure, you can get a PhD. Would you like a PhD in something, Esmeralda?
Hmm. I get a PhD in walking sassy.
Yes. Well, yeah. Hold on. How long have you been walking sassy? I don't want to just give
things away.
I've
been walking sassy since I could walk.
Since you could walk?
Yes.
And since sassy could walk, too?
What?
A walking... I thought that sassy was an animal,
like
you.
No.
Okay.
No,
I mean,
the verbs or the adjective.
Right. Just walking the sassy, adjective. Huh?
Yes.
I don't know, Esmeralda.
How dare you?
I don't know if you're that sassy of a walker, Dan.
How dare you my sassy walking?
I got to go to my dean of admissions, Dan Long. Do you think that Esmeralda's got a sassy walk?
You know, based on a small sample size, admittedly, I think we could still issue that degree.
Okay. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're in then. I think it'd be cooler if you actually had an animal named Sassy and you walked her or him.
I unfortunately do not.
But fine, walking Sassy, you're in.
I'll do that next year. That'll be my goal.
Right.
A degree in literally walking a pet named Sassy.
312-981-7200. You can get a degree just like Esmeralda did at Carmen University.
And now I can do anything.
You can. We didn't offer online classes. We didn't have live classes and seminars, first of which were free to attend. I didn't handpick any of the instructors.
It's just life experience.
Shockingly, I didn't have to pay a $25 million lawsuit out either, which apparently can be a tax deduction. Congratulations to the Don. Thanksgiving is... It's Thursday. It's always on a Thursday. Three great football games on Thanksgiving, just for everybody's. The Lions and the Vikings at 11:30. Can't beat that. Normally Detroit's not relevant at all. Two first-place teams. But what's trending on Twitter tonight, which I find very interesting, is how to avoid politics at dinner. Hashtag how to avoid politics at dinner. So I'm actually curious people's strategy at the Thanksgiving dinner table. Because, I mean, let's be honest. It is not an easy time right now for people. It just isn't, if we're going to get like even minorly serious, right? Some people are really, really, really angry. And others are really, really, really happy. Like just completely jubilant. Like it's the greatest thing that's ever happened. Can you believe it? We got the liberals out. We've got control of the House. We got control of the Senate. Look at what's going on in the market. It's going to be great for business. There's plenty, there's a ton of people who have that take. And they probably want to talk about it, right? Because they feel like the last 8 years have just been brutal for them. So when they come to the family dinner, they've been eating crow for so long, they want to have that conversation. And then there are people that just don't want to hear it at all, right? I mean, Dan Long, is your Thanksgiving, is that going to be a universal political table?
It's been kind of trending that way the last couple of years. I'm fortunate, though, because I have, with a couple of my family members that kind of are on the opposite side of me, we have the ultimate bridge, which is the greatest event in the history of American sports, the Cubs winning the World Series, that I can deflect to in case break glass in case of emergency.
I'm glad you brought that up because we might hit that a little bit later in the program, the Cubs World Series and the election. That is something to celebrate. That is something to be thankful for. How's your table looking, Esmeralda?
Mine's going to be completely fine.
You think so?
We're all on the same page.
Okay.
None of us diverted.
Okay. I'd like to hear from people who are nervous about spending time with family just because of this, and they're trying to dance around it. And how do you do it? Like, how to avoid politics at dinner, to me, is kind of a, there's just a lot of stuff going on Twitter tonight. Like, hey, I thank everyone for not discussing politics during this dinner in the blessing. We thank everybody for coming tonight. We thank you for enjoying this delicious food. We thank you for not talking about the election over the next 3 hours while you're in my home and drinking my wine and drinking my beer and eating the delicious food that I have prepared for you.
What if it's the other way?
Which way?
They cooked for you and now they're just yelling at you.
Right. Well, okay. That's possible too, right? hey, you will be listening to me. So then how do you handle that? If you're going to a gathering and you know that part of the deal is to get to eat their food and to drink their drink, you're going to have to listen to their narrative. And by the way, I'm putting this on both sides, right? I'm, you know.
Right. So, I'm bad and I would be yelling.
Right.
I would go toe-to-toe, head-to-head.
You would? Oh, you would?
Yeah. Yeah, right. I would, yeah.
Right. And then what happens?
We yell a bunch.
Yeah. Well, see, and that's the thing. Maybe that's all right. Like, maybe I'm just avoiding.
Yeah, I've done it before, so.
Yeah, why? I mean, see, I will always worry when you dive down that road that you're at risk of losing the friendship, at risk of losing, you know, maybe you don't know the repercussions if you open it all up. Then you might never want to see that person again. You might.
That's
not
true, but I don't want to see this person. It's a cousin of mine, and he's the worst.
Right.
So he's just awful in general.
Right.
And I've had to, like.
Okay, so you want to have a fight with him.
So, yeah, I'm not, I don't care if he doesn't show up at my house again, I'm fine.
Right, right. 312-981-7200, looking for some Thanksgiving strategy here. Actually, Mike's on the line with this is an interesting strategy, because this can go either way. Hey, Mike, welcome to 720 WGN. What do you got, Mike?
Yeah, I know how that played, actually, politics at the dinner table.
Uh-huh.
Just pretty much get drunk. And, you know, everyone will pretty much, you know, the next day, you pretty much forget what they said and you said and go about your day.
Yeah, but in the moment, Mike, that could get really, really dicey, right?
Sure. Yeah, I agree, because you can get angry at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, how many drinks are you, is this really going to be your strategy, Mike? Do you get a little liquored up on a Thanksgiving? Nothing wrong with that, by the way. Just don't drink and drive.
No, I'm of age. And, but you also have other relatives that do the same. And, you know, it seems like, you know, just being at a family gathering, it can be, you know, you haven't seen relatives in all, you know, years. And it can be stressful. That's even stressful, too, because then they're asking all these questions, how you doing, what you're doing, blah, blah. And it's just, and then on top of the politics, it can be really, you know, or just better yet, just wear your headphones, you know, just listen to your music.
Right. Well, you're hitting on a kind of an interesting angle here, Mike, in that, I mean, a lot of people love Thanksgiving, but then a lot of people, I think, have a lot of anxiety around it. Oh, my God. I got to see my cousin, my sister, whoever who I haven't seen in a while, and she's going to, I don't know,
exactly,
get superior on me or mock me, and I just don't know if I'm going to be able to handle it, right? I mean, all that goes in.
Yeah.
And so then people drink through it, but then that can spill out. Like, it's not as, you know, holidays can be tough.
Yeah. Well, sure, it can't do. But, you know, thank God I actually have one of my cousins there who's a Catholic priest. So maybe he can, like, kind of straighten some things up.
There you go. Hey, Mike, thanks for calling.
Yeah. Okay, you too. Take care.
Okay. Appreciate it. 312-981-7200. Well, see, now you got religion in the room. Get a little. I mean, I feel like if a priest is at your Thanksgiving dinner, that elevates the habits, behavior.
Oh, good job.
Right.
Get it? Habits.
Did you like that?
Yeah, that's good.
Right.
He should wear the collar and everything.
I mean, he's got to be out in front. Like, remember what we're dealing with here, team.
He's really got to go all out in the outfit.
Yeah.
To make it stick, I think.
I mean, my father will never be invited back to this Thanksgiving that we went to, ever. It's still talked about to this day. And I knew it was going to happen. I absolutely knew that we were going to go down that road.
Well, is he in any way regretful?
No, not in the least.
Ah, then it's fine.
Yeah, I mean, he really? I mean, I'm not invited. Well, I don't care. Yeah, no, God bless him. He's staying in his lane and happy to be in his lane. That's one of the things I love about my dad, actually. 312-981-7200. Joe's all about the peace on 720 WGN. Go ahead, Joe.
Hey, Carm, you're a very versatile guy filling in this evening.
Thank you, Joe. Appreciate that.
You betcha, kiddo. Hey, listen, I had a buddy that's, you know, an old college buddy. So we're talking about 45 years ago.
Uh-huh.
Called me 3 days ago and said, congratulations. We talk periodically, if you will. And I said, well, why? And he said, first the Cubs, and then your candidate won. So I'm just offering another slant, if you will, on the Thanksgiving dinner and stuff like that. You can approach it in a very sane way. And, you know, he was very calmly, he congratulated me, if you will. And I said, he said, did you have one thing that really swayed you, Joe? And I said, there's a lot of noise out there, all the emails and the foundation scenario. That's very common knowledge. But the one thing that wasn't publicized that much that really stuck in my craw was the fact when she was Secretary of State, she allowed the Russians to gain 25% share in the company that manufactures our uranium. So she was instrumental.
Hey, Joe, so are you, hold on a second, because you hit on a thing. I don't want to go down all the uranium details. I'm going to make my head spin.
Go ahead.
What was better for you, the Cubs winning the World Series or Trump getting elected? Let's keep it right there. Let me get an answer on that.
It was 50-50.
50-50.
Here's a scenario. I ordered four from the Franklin Mint, four silver dollars with the Cubs logo on it, you know, and the 69 rating from NGC.
How many hats do you got?
I've got two, and I bought four balls for each of the kids. I looked at the paper, and they were trying to sell them for $39, the Spalding balls.
Okay.
Bought four at Walgreens yesterday for $15.95.
There you, hey, Joe, appreciate you. That's a good job. I you know, along those along that line, if everybody got all memorabilia crazed with the Cubs, like, just relax. Let it die down for like 5 seconds here, and you can get things for good value, like Joe did. I'm up against the breaker, Joe, so I appreciate your phone call. 312-981-7200. Quick timeout. I actually, we have an ethics issue that we're going to have to deal with coming up after 3 o'clock, and I'm actually super passionate about this. It's a sports topic, but it's a human topic. And if you're following at all what's going on in high school football in the state, it's going to be in the courts tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. So there's a little tease for what's coming up in about 10 minutes right here on 720 WGN. I love the music of Dan Long. It's so... Hit your button one more time, Dan, because I hear both. There's like a thing with that button. There you go. It's perfect. Or no, hit it again. One more time. The power of radio. Oh, yes, perfect. Perfect. Beautiful. What was that? Who was that? Whatever that tune was. Oh, it was just a rando on the old set list here. That wasn't a personal Dan Long special?
Never. No, that one was in the vault, but... I kind of like the vibe. It's Smoke and Pope, so I may use that one again.
The who?
The Smoke and Popes.
Wow. Okay. It's aggressive. Esmeralda, you a fan of the Smoke and Popes?
Yeah. Chicago's own.
See, why do people...
No? You don't know them?
No, I don't know the Smoke and Popes.
You might. They had a hit.
Really?
They had one hit.
What was the hit?
I couldn't tell you the name, but if you heard it, you might...
Google Smoke and Popes.
I forget what it's called. Hang but on they a had they had one, like... big hit
smoking
that went national.
The Smoking Popes went national. I don't know if I believe this. Computer's frozen though, so I can't find out. These things happen. Couples here. First of all, my Thanksgiving is going to be very, very safe because I'm going to come in and see Patty Vasquez on pretty late at 11 p.m. and I know that is like a that is a place where all are welcome, and you just feel so comfortable. So if Patty is still out there and listening, I look forward to spending the end of the evening with Patty. And then we got the family going out, but 9 a.m. Thanksgiving morning, some park in Buffalo Grove, I forget the name, the old BG, I will be on the football field, and I like to set the expectation right now. Last year, in one of the key moments of the game, other team had the ball, Carm on D, Carm spying, pass on the flat, read it perfectly with the burst, just darted right in front. Interception going the other way, and still have a little bit of that speed, Dan Long, beating all would-be tacklers to the end zone. Touchdown, at the Carm on Twitter, and there will be nothing that I will enjoy more on my Thanksgiving than my Thanksgiving football game at 9 a.m., which with the emails have been sent out. Get there early. Bring any equipment that you have. We're starting immediately at 9. People have families. It'll be over by 10:30. We're playing to 6. First guy to six, first team, 5-on-5 to 6 touchdowns, or 6-on-6. I don't know how many guys we have. So I am looking for your Thanksgiving traditions and things that you do only on Thanksgiving. Because at this point in my life, the only night of the year or the day of the year that I actually play touch football / flag football anymore is Thanksgiving. I feel like everybody's got their special thing that they only do on Thanksgiving. Maybe I'm nuts about that. Maybe I'm wrong. But it's just, it's really, I think Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday. You eat phenomenal. I love the food. I could eat turkey all day long. I mean, I love a mashed potato. I love a green bean. I love an apple pie or a chocolate cake. I mean, I love all of it. And I love that you don't – see, the thing about Thanksgiving that separates it from, say, Christmas or Easter, just naming the big ones here, you don't have to get anybody a gift on Thanksgiving. Like, you don't have to do anything. You just got to show up. Maybe you bring a bottle of wine. But it's not a gift holiday. There's no real expectation. You just come, you have a great meal, you watch football, you play football in the morning, and it's just a time of thanks. I really enjoy that about a Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. So if you'd like to just say anything that you're thankful for as we get ready for Thursday, I'm willing to hear it. I'll go first, actually. Things that I'm thankful for, if I may. I'm Mark Harmon sitting in for Nick D tonight. Things that I'm thankful for on this year, 2016. Let's get really emotional and start at the top. I am thankful that no longer in the history, in my life, and hopefully it's a very long one, I will ever have to listen about 105, 107, 98, however many years it had been since the Chicago Cubs won the World Series. I'm about to get emotional. It was a burden. My sports life was not complete. And as much as I'll sort of miss chasing something, now I guess they have Northwestern making the NCAA tournament, which they're going to do this year. They should have beaten Notre Dame tonight. I don't have to chase that anymore. I'm thankful in the sports realm for that. Esmeralda, your turn. I'll get into more emotional Thanksgiving. What are you thankful for?
I am thankful because it was a year in October, or it's been a year. Since meeting my boyfriend.
Wow, that's so nice.
He's a lovely man.
Yeah, there's always been like little splashes of him on the radio. That's beautiful. One year?
Yeah, it was a year at the end of October. And yeah, so last year I was having a bummer time. And then I met him.
How about that?
Yeah.
Well, you would have gotten through it regardless.
Right, but he made it better.
Very, very cool.
Gotten better.
What's his name again?
His name is Colin.
Colin.
Yes.
Didn't he, like, call me on the show one time and you were like...
He did.
Yeah.
He did.
Yeah. Colin, that's beautiful. I hope you're listening. Dan Long, would you like to say what you're thankful for?
I'm inclined to give kind of the boring answer, but I guess I can expand it to, I guess, things that I always, and I think a lot of us kind of take for granted, the things especially that make, you know, the tenants that make this country great that might kind of slip away, freedom of the press, freedom of religion. Just basic constitutional stuff like that. I guess that's my boring answer.
It's not boring. I think that's great. I got to pause on that, Dan. That's really nice. I like that you went serious. I am thankful. I guess we should move to news because I don't want to be late for Julia Gray, who's coming up right now. Julia, would you like to say what you're thankful for?
Gosh, I'm thankful. Let's see. Booze. Mm-hmm. Cats. I don't know.
Booze and cats.
Oh, those are all great.
Booze and cats are good.
A really good red lipstick, which I'm not wearing right now. Let's see. There's a lot of good things.
Yeah.
There's a lot.
Can I change my answer?
I'd like to tack booze onto the end of mine, too.
Booze. Comfortable shoes. That's another one.
Comfortable shoes, yeah.
Good fitting undergarments. I don't know.
Good fitting undergarments.
These are all top
Julia.
Answers.
I'm just introducing myself to y'all.
Yeah,
so.
Welcome to WGN on that one. The old good fitting undergarment.
Hey, you got it. You know, I'm just going to show all my cards right now.
No, that's cool. Okay. I like a good fitting undergarment too. I'll give one more. I'm grateful. By the way, I'm grateful to be here tonight with you on 720 WGN. I'm grateful for the journey, man. I think that everybody is on.
The band journey?
No, but like the actual, like I think we're all in our little trek through life, the up, the down, the roller coaster. Esmeralda touched on it a year ago. I was having a rough time, and now I'm sitting here, and things feel better because of Scooter. I forget his name. What was his name? Colin. Right.
Guys rock. Love it.
I'm grateful for my guy, Dan Long, who I get to see every Saturday and Sunday. Mm-hmm. I walk in, he looks at me, Carm, what's up? Hi, Dan. I have no idea what we're doing today, but we're going to figure it out, baby. Good morning, 720 WGN 308. I'm Mark Carmen in for Nick DiGilio. With you until 5 o'clock, the opening bell at 5. Hope you're having a great start to your Wednesday of Thanksgiving week. So, 9 a.m. this morning, this coming morning, roughly 6 hours from now, the Circuit Court of Cook County at the Daly Center, Judge Kathleen Kennedy, she's going to consider the lawsuit filed this past Monday by Fenwick High School seeking, quote, declaratory, injunctive, and other relief against the IHSA. Now, I'm assuming that people are following the story, even though it's a sports story and it's not the end of the world either way here. But if you're not, I want to give you a little quick recap. So a high school football game Saturday night, right? Fenwick and Plainfield. And they're playing for the right to play for the state championship in 7A. The officials made a huge error on the final play of regulation. They enforced a penalty that gave the ball back to Plainfield North, who ended up kicking a field goal with no time left on the clock, forcing overtime. It was a 10-7 game. Dan Long, are you aware of this whole story?
I read about the lawsuit itself, but I didn't know what the actual play was that was in debate.
Oh, okay, so here's what happened. Fenwick has the football. There's 4 seconds to go. They're on their own 15-yard line. They're up 10-7. They have to kill 4 seconds of time. So, their coach, Gene Nudo, tells their quarterback, just drop back, throw the ball as far in the air as you possibly can. 4 seconds will tick off. It was fourth down. They didn't want to risk punting it because they didn't want to get it blocked. Now, they could have done other things. They could have ran around for 4 seconds, run out of the end zone, taken a safety. That would have worked. There's a lot of things they could do. They chose to just fling the ball in the air, which was a fine choice. Maybe not ideal, but a fine choice. And they said, you know, throw where no one's at so it won't be picked off and nobody can run it back. Well, the officials ruled that it was intentional grounding, which was the correct ruling. There were no receivers. You have to throw the football to somebody. Nobody was there. So that's correct. It is intentional grounding. However, the rules in the IHSA state that if there is a penalty and the clock has run out, then the game is over. There will not be another play. Unfortunately, the officials that were refereeing this game did not know the rules. And by the way, that's not completely their fault. They're high school officials. It's not their job. This is their hobby. And there's a lot of rules, and officials can get something wrong, as basic as this rule was. But they didn't know the rules. So they give the ball back to Plainfield North with one play to go on now the Fenwick 5-yard line. They go ahead and kick a 22-yard field goal. Field goal's good. We're tied at 10, and we're going to overtime. Fenwick scores a touchdown in overtime, the team that originally had the lead. They're up 17-10. But they got, you still get a chance to score in OT if the team scores on their first possession. So Plainfield North gets the football. They go down the field. They score a touchdown. They go for two. They win the game 18-17, and they go to state to play East St. Louis in Champaign Saturday at 4 o'clock. Now, Fenwick, if they had actually followed the rules, if the officials knew the rules, they had won the game fair and square. Game over, 10-7, that's the final. Unfortunately, again, the officials did not know the rules. And so now Fenwick is looking at the IHSA and their board of directors to jump in and overrule what went on in the field. Hey, they messed it up. They didn't know the rules. Declare us the victor. Unfortunately, the IHSA, following rules strictly, they cited bylaw 6.033 that states, quote, "The decisions of game officials shall be final. Protests against the decision of a game official shall not be reviewed by the board of directors. Henceforth," as I put on my lawyer hat, "we are going to court today at 9 a.m. in the Daly Center with Judge Kathleen Kennedy." Now, this really bothers me on a lot of levels. But here's the deal, right? You're Plainfield North, okay? Now, both these teams, for the record, they're making their first ever, this is their first ever trip to the state final. They were both trying to get to the state final for the first time, okay? Plainfield North had never won a playoff game prior to this season, the school's 11-year history. Okay, so it's a huge deal to get to go downstate. I get that. But if you're the head coach of Plainfield North, whose name is Tim Kaine, and you know that by the rules of the game, you lost the football game, if you have any integrity whatsoever, in my mind, you do not go downstate and take the place of a Fenwick team that beat you fair and square. You lost. The officials blew it. These things happen. They didn't know the rules. What exactly are you teaching your kids if you take a victory that you didn't deserve? That was flat out wrong. Borderline, in my mind, at this point, dishonest. You know that you lost. Now, I mean, what Plainfield North is doing is they're hiding behind the officials make mistakes. These things happen all the time. And we're just going to play, and they did their job, and we're doing ours. And if they got their job wrong, well, they got their job wrong. And sometimes it benefits you, and sometimes it doesn't. No. You don't take advantage of a situation just because it benefits you. You actually are a leader. By the way, you're a head football coach of 18, 17, 16-year-old kids. This is not just about football, man. This is about doing what's right. This is about integrity. This shouldn't be in court. Plainfield North should be calling up Fenwick after they come to their senses. He should be calling up Gene Nudo and telling him, "Hey, Gene, congratulations. You guys beat us fair and square. You get to go downstate and play East St. Louis." 312-981-7200. Simple question for you. Should Plainfield North forfeit their fake victory and allow Fenwick to go downstate? And I think this is an easy question. And really, to be honest, it bothers me when people hide behind some sorry-ass bylaw to benefit themselves when they know, or at least they should know in their heart, that they're doing the wrong thing. And I get it. Your kids played really hard. They want to go to state. They want to win. You want to win. As hard as it is for this concept to get nailed into people's head, and I love winning too, winning is not everything, man. It just isn't. I love to win. Love it, love it, love it, love it, love it. I probably hate to lose more. But you didn't win the football game, man. You lost. So to tell your kids, you're sending the message that, hey, if you can get away with it, or if somebody makes a mistake and somehow it benefits you, well, screw the other, screw Fenwick. It's gross. It is gross. It is a large problem in my mind of what's going on in the world right now. Do what's right, man. It's sitting there right for you, Tim Kaine and Plainfield. I'm going to get your calls coming right on back here. I got to take a quick timeout, 312-981-7200. But I have incidents of where coaches were actually leaders, and that is not what's going on with Plainfield North right now, and it's wrong. 720 WGN. Good morning, 322. I'm Mark Carmen, in for Nick D, who's off this week. So we're talking about Fenwick and Plainfield. High school football. Fenwick won a football game. The officials awarded an extra down after time had been expired. Plainfield North ended up kicking a field goal that shouldn't have been. That tied the game, and then Plainfield North ended up winning it in overtime. What's even worse about what happened in OT, too, I guess it's not necessarily worse, but, you know, they went for two after Fenwick scored a touchdown, Plainfield North scores a touchdown, they go for two, they win the game. I don't know if Plainfield North knew the rules at the time that they shouldn't have been in overtime, but if they did, if they did know the rules at the time, they should have forfeited on the field then. They should have gone to the officials and said, hey, that... When you just ruled that intentional grounding with 4 seconds to go, the game's over. The game can end on a penalty. We don't get another down. If they actually knew the rules. I don't know if Tim Kaine knew the rules or not. But when it became clear after the football game that the officials got it wrong, if you have any integrity whatsoever, if you're Tim Kaine and Plainfield North or athletic director, the whole thing, you forfeit the game. You say Fenwick deserves to go and let them go to state. Instead, what Plainfield North is doing is hiding behind the board of directors and the worry that, well, if we change this, it's going to open up a Pandora's box and everything, the whole system of IHSA football and any other sport is going to all come crashing down. Teach kids a lesson, man. Tell them that they played really, 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 really hard and they had a phenomenal season, but they lost the football game. And we're not going to win behind officials who got something wrong. We're not going to go to state that way. It'll be tainted. We don't belong there. Grow up. Seriously. 312-981-7200. Rob, welcome to WGN.
Hey, Mark. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, Rob. Thanks for calling.
Oh, glad to do it. I completely agree with you. I've been in several situations. When I was in Pop Warner, we had a interception in a multi-playoff situation where there was three teams who had to go to the state playoffs for Pee Wee. This was Pop Warner, you know.
Right.
And the game, we tied the game. It was 7-7. We both scored. It went into overtime. So the next score won. We got an interception, ran it back for a touchdown, and it got turned over because they said you couldn't win on an interception. It had to be an offensive score. But that was nowhere in the rules. It was total crap. Both coaches knew it. The other coach even succeeded, but they still gave them the win, and we got denied going to the state finals.
So the other coach was actually
the same thing.
So the other coach was actually cool. The other coach was actually cool about it. He was willing to do what was right, but
after discussion. But the thing, the difference is here that they had an official rule, like a rule master, I guess. I don't know what to call him, but someone who knew all of it, who was there for that purpose. And he came in and said, this is how it's supposed to be. And even then, even though both coaches said this is how it should be, the rule master said this is how it is, whatever. It was like the stupidest thing.
Yeah. See, what you're looking for, what I'm looking for, Rob, is some common sense. Can we get some common sense going on here?
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, it's obvious that I watched all the home videos and whatever, and I was like, when I first heard about it, and it's obvious. Like, it should have been over.
The game
was,
yeah.
It was ridiculous. Like, I mean, what are you going to do? The officials are officials, and you can't. I mean, these guys get paid nothing. They're just there to do their job for the love of the game. For the most part, like, even the pros, even the guys in the NFL, they don't make money.
Oh, the pros do. But
they make some money, but not that much money. Those guys still have other jobs.
No, they
they get hated for it. But at the same time, like, you should know the rules. You should know what's going on. And that's all there is to it.
Appreciate you, Rob. Thanks for calling, man.
Thank you.
312-981-7200. I want to give a phenomenal example of what sportsmanship should look like. Happened in DeKalb. Happened a little while ago. But I want to bring that up coming on back here after the 3:30 news. 720 WGN. Good morning. 3:35. I'm Mark Harmon in for Nick D, who is off this week. Esmeralda Leon and Jason Hansen. Did I just say that right? John Hansen. Yeah.
Close.
Can you dump that, Dan Long? Esmeralda Leon and John Hansen will be hosting this very show tomorrow night and the following evening. I'll be back on Friday night, 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. You producing that show, Dan Long?
I am not.
You are very upset about that, I can tell. And then we'll be here over the weekend with Northwestern football, taking on the Illini at 11 o'clock kickoff, 10:30 our pregame, 10 o'clock sports Saturday. And we'll have the regular beat show from 3 until 7 on Saturday.
Beat is back,
finally. The beat is back. All right. So we're talking about a little Fenwick, a little Plainfield. We're talking about integrity right now is what we're talking about on 720 WGN. If you're just joining us, Fenwick and Plainfield played a football game. The game should have been over by the rules, but intentional grounding, which was correct, but an additional down was added, which wasn't correct, and then the wrong football team is going to state, and Fenwick is getting the old kick in the behind. And it's just wrong. And there is a court hearing today at 9 a.m. at the Daly Center as Fenwick has filed an appeal. And they're citing a case in 2008, right, where the Mississippi High School Activities Association reinstated a team into the playoffs 3 days after a similar enforcement of an incorrect call on the final play of regulation allowed a team to score an apparent game-winning touchdown. So that's what they're citing. Okay. Also, by the way, back in 2008, the IHSA established precedent by overturning the results of an Illinois wrestling tournament that was 3 days after Edwardsville, at the time, celebrated beating Granite City by a half a point. They did a recount, and Granite City actually had won by a half a point. Okay? Edwardsville originally, the scoring had them winning. The scoring was wrong. All right?
So they did overturn.
They did overturn it. Now, in that case, the Edwardsville coach found the scoring error himself. What did he do? He contacted Granite City in a display of sportsmanship. Now, Plainfield North, you could do the same thing. Hello? Knock, knock. Tim Kaine, head coach of Plainfield, and I know that you're a head football coach, and it seems like a little bit wrong to be attacking you on the radio. But you know what? You do the right thing, man. You lost fair and square. This is easy. And there's quotes in the paper. David Ott, a great piece on it. It's been a lot of people. Mike Helfgott does a great job covering the IHSA. He's been all over this. A lot of great stuff in the Trib. But there's a quote from football parent George Miller, who, quote, finds it hilarious that many have called many at Fenwick have called Plainfield North. Here's Miller, quote, "It's tragic. Our kids played just as hard as Fenwick. But for them to tell us to, quote, do the right thing, there's a snowball's chance in hell." This is a parent of one of the Plainfield North parents. "There's a snowball's chance in hell that if it were Fenwick in our position, they'd do that. It's not for us to do. We played within the perimeters of the rules, and the refs made a mistake. It is what it is." First of all, if I may, Mr. Miller, what Fenwick would do or wouldn't do is irrelevant. It's what you're going to do. Who are you? Not who are they. Who are you? What are you about? What's important to you? Is it more important that you take something that you did not earn because somehow, some way, somebody made a mistake and it's to your benefit? Or is it more important to you that you can look in the mirror and say, you know what, we did what was right. These guys won fair and square. We lost. We had a great season. We made it to the championship game to go downstate. And I'm super proud of my son. And I'm super proud of his coaches. And I'm super proud of the school. And I'm super proud of how we handled it. 312-981-7200.
Now, I don't know if you know
this
or not.
Come on, man.
But did anybody during the game, was there any effort to, you know, like play it, establish that you're going to play under protest? Or did anybody catch that rule during the game?
No, I don't think so. And we got a bunch of texts coming in here. Somebody texted in. If I'm scrolling back here, does it? Hang on, I want to read it. I want to read it correctly. Not that there's a lot of variance in this text, but can't find it. Sorry. It's from the 309. Sorry about that. Doug texting in. "If it wasn't the last play of the game, do you feel different? I'm not sure it's as cut as dry that they should forfeit." Of course I'd feel different if it wasn't the last play of the game. But since it was the last play of the game and the game should have been over, Doug, it's cut and dry. The game was over. They blew it. If it happened in the fourth quarter and there was more plays and you could have righted or wrong, that's totally different. Here, and I get it that it went to overtime and they could have won an OT, but it is cut and dry in the fact that the game was over. There was no more time. If it happened in the middle of the fourth, well, then Plainfield could have gotten over the hump in a different way. But in this scenario, there was no getting over the hump in another way. The game was over. It was done. 312-981-7200 text line. The ref should have an app for officials to quickly go to in the situation. The IHSC officials make a decent salary. What I read, what are they doing for their part-time employees? Okay, I that's fine. Maybe they should be able to have an app and all the rules and they can check it out. Great. But we got to deal in the now here. They didn't. Or if they did or whatever, they blew it. So what are we going to do? Are we gonna let a team go down state when they don't belong there and for lack of a better word, screw all the kids at Fenwick? And here's what the other thing what's probably going to happen here at, in court, even if the court steps in, the IHSA can still not listen to the court. And maybe they could have, like, well, then they could just, what they could do is say, well, we're not going to play the game. Like, they could, which could completely take East St. Louis, who deserves to be there and is undefeated, they could end up getting screwed in this too. I just don't understand why. Why is common sense so hard? Why is it so difficult? I don't get it. My favorite story around sportsmanship, or one of them at least, goes back to 2009. Do you know who Dave Rollman is, Dan Long?
Not familiar with Dave Rollman.
Dave Rollman's a great man. Okay, he was a basketball coach at DeKalb High School back in the day. So his team was playing Milwaukee Madison. Okay, this is all the way back in 2009, but it's really one of my favorite stories. I actually always get a little bit emotional on this one. So one of the players on Milwaukee Madison, he lost his mother. Mother passes away. And I think it was that day. And so they weren't expecting this young man to come and play basketball. But he wanted to play. And so he ends up showing up. Wants to be with his teammates. Everybody goes through the grieving process in whatever way. I mean, listen, I lost my mom when I was young. We had, at that time, partial season tickets to the Chicago Bulls. They played the Boston Celtics that night. I wanted to go. They lost the game 111-106, March 27, 1987. Now, my family said, you know, Mark, we're not going to the Bulls game tonight. But I wanted to avoid the, you know, the pain of the whole thing. This kid comes to play basketball with his friends, all right? He's not on the score sheet because they weren't expecting him to be there. So when they put him in the game because he wasn't on the score sheet, that's a technical foul. Two free throws. What does DeKalb do? The kid was John Tel Franco. His mother passed away. What does DeKalb do? They walk up to the free throw line and they roll both free throws. They miss them on purpose. Now, they had every right. They could have taken the two free throws. And there was a senior guard at the time. His name is Darius McNeil. He volunteered to go up there and miss him. Now, how cool is that? You could have had the points.
It's class.
By the letter of the law. Now, that is some class, man. That's only 2 points in a basketball game. And we're not talking about going downstate and once in a lifetime and all that stuff. But it doesn't matter. You don't get to do it on a sliding scale. I'm going to have integrity here and not have integrity there. This is a very simple thing. Plainfield North would look incredible in my mind, I think in anybody else's mind, if they stepped up and said, we're not going. We're not going downstate on this. It's just wrong. The game was over. 630 texting, if the IHSA wants to overturn the ruling, that's fine. This does not belong in the courts. I agree with you. I don't think it should be in the courts either. This should be determined by two head coaches sitting down like men and making a call. And, you know, if I'm Fenwick and I'm the head coach of Fenwick, I plead my case. Gene Nudo's the head coach of Fenwick. I sit down with the head coach of Plainfield, Tim Kaine, and I say, This is what's right, man. This is absolutely what's right. And if you have the sense of doing that, I'd really appreciate it. And if you don't, I guess I would understand. But I honestly, I'm not going to look at you the same way. And I would do the same thing for you. Now you never know unless you're in that situation. But I would hope that Gene Nudo would know in his heart that I am not taking this if I don't deserve it. And they absolutely, positively don't deserve it. David Haw has a phenomenal piece on it in the Tribune. It's really laid out, because if you're just joining the conversation, I'm not going to go through every single detail of it. But as per usual, Haw has a great piece on it. And It's just depressing to me that we are all about winning, period. That's it. Nothing else matters all the time. Lie, cheat, steal, whatever you can do to get ahead. These are high school kids, man. You have an obligation. How's that? You have an obligation to teach your kids how to conduct themselves. Because these type of situations are going to happen throughout your entire life. You'll have opportunities to take things that you don't really deserve. And how are you gonna be? I mean, there's a huge teaching lesson. It's a lot bigger than a football game. So I'd like to thank my father and my mother for teaching me the right way. And maybe that's too dramatic, but that's just how I feel about the whole thing. So I hope that between now and 9 o'clock today, don't break it. I gotta have to stall. Tim Kaine and Plainfield North, hit the button again, Dan. We have a button that's sticking, so if I say that the rest of the show, you'll know what's going on. We're here until 5. I'll say that button thing at least 2 more times. I hope that they come to their senses, man. I really do. I don't think they will. Clearly, that's not going to happen. There's been plenty of time to come to their senses, and they're not going to. And the parents lining up one after another. I mean, look in the mirror here. Bill Stoll. I think everyone feels bad that it happened this way, but there's lots of bad calls in sports. At the end of the day, it's a game. Everyone in sports has something go against them. The rules are in place for a reason. Yeah, the rules were in place. They weren't followed. Mr. Stoll? Come on, man. This isn't hard. And by the way, if you don't go downstate, you don't play, you're going to live. Your son's going to live. You're going to be okay. They still learned all the lessons that they learned in their high school career. They were still on the football team. They still won a ton of football games. They still played in a tremendous game. They'll always have that memory. They're just not going to get to play East St. Louis. It's not the end of the world. And you can walk head held high all day. Instead, you're going to like worm into playing in the state title game, and it will, that asterisk is always going to be there. Forever and always. So, there's no way around that. You don't deserve to be there. 312-981-7200. I will move on to something a little bit more fun. You know who got honored today or yesterday now? In one of the great speeches. I'm just going to put it out there straight. I'm going to miss Barack Obama and his Presidential Medal of Freedom. He honored the greatest athlete to ever play anything. A little Michael Jordan stuff coming up here right after 4 o'clock. WGN, good morning, 3:55. Hope you're having a great Thanksgiving week. Hope you're playing Thanksgiving football on Thursday, baby. Get on out there. Dial up what's ever left of that athletic ability. Give it your all. Get a little stretch in. Put on the cleats. Put a little flag out there. I'll be out there at 9 a.m. I'm just getting myself mentally prepared right now. Big game. Big game. Got to take some people down. All right. Let's see. A lot of stuff on the text line here, 815. Though I agree with you, I'm thinking of the kids on both sides who are losing sleep over this. Chances are some of them are awake listening to you pouring salt into the wound. I'm not pouring salt in anyone's wound. And if you're taking it that way, I guess I hear you, but I'm not trying to do that. I think it's important to talk about this, man. I think there's there's a larger issue going on here just about let's not be all about that W, man. Let's be all about what's doing right. What are we trying to do in this country right now? Make America great again? There's a comment. This would be one way where we could all come together and actually do something that is correct. We all know what is right in this particular situation, and we all know what's right in a lot of other situations. And we sometimes do it, and sometimes we don't. Hey, Mike, welcome to WGN. Go ahead.
Hey, Carmen. First of all, I like this segment called Carmen's Rant. I love it.
Thanks, Mike.
The only way to, without tying up this case in the courts, what they could do is take 3 athletic directors from 9 conference schools, set up like a board, Both coaches go and plead their case. Two-thirds majority, decision's none.
Right, but they have a board, and the board's not going to hear it. I mean, that's basically what they have said.
I'm not talking about going through the IHSA. I'm talking about an independent using three athletic directors from non-conference schools.
Right. But we got a deal in the now here, Mike. I mean, that we don't have that luxury. I get it going forward that you like in this particular situation – that what do you want? You want the IHSA to say that they'll never hear a case like this, and this to a point that we'll have three independent coaches for situations like this going forward? That's not a terrible idea. I can hear you.
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, the IHSA for years, when my kids played in football and high school sports, was screwed up back then too.
Right.
And it's not getting any better.
Yeah, no, there's been a long list of IHSA decisions that make people scratch their head all the time. I get that. Not a bad. Hey, go ahead.
The only way to do it is have an independent board.
Right. I'm down. So. I'm in. That's fine. Appreciate you, Mike.
All right. Take care. Have a good Thanksgiving, brother.
You too, man. Happy Thanksgiving. 312-981-7200. Let's see. You know, it's not classy using your position as a radio host to not just talk about the story, but to shame people on the other side for not doing what you believe they should do. Not shaming anyone, or maybe I am. Not apologizing for that. Sorry. It's my opinion. Allowed to have it. That's part of talk radio. Got to have. It's called "Don't Be Thin-Skinned." They can agree. Tim Kaine can come on any radio station in town. I know that people. A lot of people have been on, and he can defend his viewpoint. That's fine. It's called discussion, which is cool. Let's see here, 312-981-7200 from the 224. As a former AD, coach, and IHSA official, the problem is the shortage of football officials. Not enough officials, let alone that are good. I agree with you, Mark. Plainfield North should do the right thing. Thank you, sir, from the 224. 708, if you're looking for common sense from the IHSA, you're going to be looking for a long time. That is a opinion shared by many. I just like common sense, man. Just a little common sense. It's really not that hard. End of the day. Maybe I'm living in a utopian place at times where I just feel like it's pretty obvious what to do. And I, by the way, as we wrap it up here and we'll move along as we start the 4 o'clock hour, I'm not perfect. Like in my own little world of doing what's right, do I sometimes take advantage of a situation? Sure, absolutely, I have. And you know what? I don't feel good after it. It happens. I'm not perfect. This is something, though, you get to think about it for a long time, and you had a lot of people who are affected by your decision. Like I'm talking about, like, well, if I'm just little, smaller, like rec league basketball type of things. I know that was off me. Sometimes I'll tell the official, that was off me, and I feel really good about it. Other times, I'll take it. That's our ball. I'm not perfect either. Let me get that on the record. Happy Turkey Week, 4:06. Good morning. See Andy Mazur rolling in the sports office. Hashtag put in Cahill. Mazur, you can come in here at like 4:35. I want to celebrate the Cubs World Series again. If you just, yeah, the Cubs won the World Series. I don't know if you know that. Hey, Dan Long.
Yeah,
Cubs won the World Series.
I had heard.
Yeah, people want to keep talking about Plainfield and Fenwick, which is cool with me. We'll get to that in 1 second. I just want to. Can we play what Barack Obama said about Michael Jordan today when he gave him the Presidential Medal of Freedom? Can we hear that?
5 years old, Michael Jordan nearly cut off his big toe with an axe. Back then, his handles needed a little work. But think, if things had gone differently, Air Jordans might never have taken flight. I mean, you don't want to buy a shoe with like one toe missing. We may never have seen him switch hands in midair against the Lakers or drop 63 in the Garden, or gutted out in the flu game or hit the shot three different times over Georgetown, over Elo, over Russell. We might not have seen him take on Larry Bird in horse or lift up the sport globally along with the Dream Team. Yet MJ is still more than those moments, more than just the best player on the two greatest teams of all time, the Dream Team and the 1996 Chicago Bulls.
91 was better. That's okay, though.
He's more than just a logo, more than just an internet meme. He's more than just a charitable donor or a business owner committed to diversity. There is a reason you call somebody the Michael Jordan of. Michael Jordan of neurosurgery, or the Michael Jordan of rabbis, or the Michael Jordan of outrigger canoeing. They know what you're talking about, because Michael Jordan is the Michael Jordan of greatness. He is the definition of somebody so good at what they do that everybody recognizes
him. I love that, man. I love that he went with the Michael Jordan of something. Like, Esmeralda, you're the Michael Jordan of traffic.
Aw, oh, thanks.
Right?
Wow.
Dan Long, you're the Michael Jordan of producing.
Maybe the Wizards, Michael Jordan of producing.
No. At this moment in time, you're the MJ of producing, man. You're sitting with me for 3 hours, and whatever tonight is, you're the MJ of producing. But that's true, right? The MJ of. I love that that got in the discussion today. That was very cool. All right. Back to the topic at hand. Ernie Skatton, the MJ of production. Like, it's the highest compliment you can pay someone. You're the MJ of cab drivers. You're the MJ of vending. You're the MJ of lawyers. You're the MJ of presidents. I love that. I really do. Makes me feel good. 312-981-7200. Back to Plainfield and Fenwick. Hello, Mark. Good morning.
Hey, Mark. What's going on?
Good morning, Mark.
Good morning. I got full disclosure. I am a Plainfield North parent, but I'm not a football parent. My kid plays soccer, so I'm used to subjective officiating.
Okay.
Because that's just the life of soccer.
Okay.
But I think that if this is overturned via a lawsuit, it sets a really bad precedent among sports. You know, the IHSA, yeah, as screwed up as they may be, put those refs in charge of the game.
Mm-hmm.
If the coach did not know the rule at the time to dispute the call at the time, the game is the game. Whether Plainfield won or lost, I mean, it really doesn't matter to me. I'm not a football guy, so... whether Plainfield won or lost, it's still the game because the refs are put in charge of it, and that's how the game went. They're the deciding factor.
Oh, right, but they didn't do their job, right, Mark?
There's a lot of times refs don't do their job. So are you going to go back throughout that whole entire game and review plays in the legal system?
Well, hold on. It's a lot different, a holding penalty versus, oh my God, the game was over and we blew it, right? I mean, there's a huge difference there, isn't there?
There is a difference, but it's setting a precedent where people will now and start taking it to that level.
Would the precedent be that if we overturn this, I'm not asking for the courts here, by the way, Mark. This is more, to me, between the two coaches and them getting together and making a decision. If I'm Plainfield and I know that I lost that football game, if people had known the rules, I'm not taking that win. I mean, it's as simple as that to me. I get what you're saying. Like, I don't think the court should be involved. Going to court, that makes me nauseous. But it's not about that for me, Mark. It's about doing the right thing. I mean, if you're the head coach of Plainfield, are you taking that win?
Here's the thing. For me, yes, because in the sport that I'm in, you know, I've coached soccer my whole life.
Okay.
You know, not my whole life, my whole kid's life. I've seen it. I've lived it. And in a sport where officiating is very subjective, and it's allowed to be subjective. There's not a whole lot of hard and fast in soccer because, you know, it's all on how the referee determines it because it's a game that doesn't stop and you don't have time for discussion. So I've seen a lot of games won and lost, and even as a coach walking across the field to shake the other coach's hand, and the other coach said you should have won that game, you know, even at that point, right as we're shaking hands, that should have been your game because of poor officiating. And still yet the win counts to the other team. That's just part of life. People are human. It's some people suck at it, but you have to live with the cards that were dealt, and the game is over. What the refs did is what the refs did. The refs should be ashamed of themselves.
Well, I'm sure they are.
Not a coach or anybody else. I mean, when I saw that game, I watched it after the fact on TV, and, you know, I'm not a football guy, so I wasn't sure,
right.
But it sure seemed to me like that head officiating head official looked like he just went through a class and was trying to use this was his time to shine. So, and he was trying to do everything, you know,
Mark,
trying to look like a pro rep, but he wasn't.
Right.
He clearly was not even close to one.
Right. Mark, I got you. I'm not going to, you know, we can go back and forth on this and me trying to change your opinion. I appreciate the fact that you coach and you're involved and sounds like you're a great parent, the whole deal. I disagree. I mean, it's not soccer. It's football. It's one call. The game is over. Like, I get that there's a lot of calls throughout a game where, yes, the refs blew it I don't think you can draw a direct parallel here. This is a situation where people that are part-time refereeing in their lives trying to help out, they just blew it. And should Gene Nudo have known the rule right then? Yes, he should have. But that doesn't change the fact that it's just very simple. The game was over. They blew it. I'm Tim Kaine, head coach of Plainfield. I'm sitting there. I got a group of young men that I'm trying to teach football and everything else to. Well, what am I going to do? Hey, guys, there's a lot of mistakes in football games, and sometimes they benefit you and sometimes they don't. So you just got to keep moving forward. And sometimes you have an opportunity to make a statement. This would be a large, profound, important, all that statement. And it would resonate. People would see it. It would be a great step forward as we try to do the right thing more and more. A lot of time to think about this, too. Don, your son plays ball. I'm sorry, Dan. Go ahead, Dan.
Yeah, I was just telling your producer that my son plays football, high school football. In fact, he was MVP, offensive player of the year this year on his team. And I asked him the same question. I said, well, what would you do? He said he would go to his coach and say, look, we've been getting screwed by refs all year. I don't want to play this game.
Right. You know what that would be?
Well, you know what? I said, you know what? You just won more than a football game. He's like, what are you talking about? I said, respect. You just earned respect.
Exactly. I mean, how can you? That's awesome, Dan. Sounds like you're doing a wonderful job over there. Good for your son.
I appreciate it. I appreciate it. Yeah, he's a football fanatic. He's looking forward. They just get to go into they're going into the weight room this week, and he can't wait. I said, he listens to you with me sometimes, and I said, they're watching the World Series, and I said, that's Carmen on there, and he says, that's the guy you're talking about all the time. I said, yeah, and I said, when that home run in the seventh game of the World Series, I knew you were over there, and I had to laugh because I probably listened to you too much. All I could think about is I hope somebody's hanging on to Carmen's belt buckle because he's going to take a header off the upper deck.
You're talking about the Rajay Davis off Aroldis Chapman when I nearly did jump out of Cleveland Stadium?
You made that World Series so comical. Under the desk, on the ledge.
It just
made me funny because you and I have never met, and all I can think of is I hope somebody's hanging on to Mark Harmon's belt buckle.
Thank you for thinking of me in that moment, Dan. That was a rough one. I didn't think I was. I honestly appreciate
it. I love your passion for the sports, man. That's what it is.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that. Good job with your son again. That's super cool.
Thanks. Have a great Thanksgiving, bud.
You too, man. Happy Thanksgiving to Dan.
Bye.
That just made me. If the Cubs had lost Game 7, let me just get that out there. It would have been the worst loss ever, and I know for a fact that I never would have gotten over it, ever. Like, I guess I just got over 0-3, but it took me until this to get over it. I think that's accurate. Maybe I was slightly over it beforehand, although I'm not completely over it. Please stop talking about Steve Bartman. Please stop talking about him. Stop reaching out to him. Tom Ricketts, don't do it. Leave him alone. Nobody wants to hear from him. Even the people that say they want to hear from him, you don't deserve to hear from him. He doesn't get to run out there and throw out the first pitch and everybody go crazy for him. No. No, no, no. It's not okay what you did. It's not okay what I did. I was in the park that night. I booed him. I yelled at him. I was wrong. I don't get to have Steve Bartman like come out there and be like, it's okay. It's okay. No, it's not okay with what happened that night. It was the worst night in the history of Wrigley Field by 100 miles. Okay, now that I got that off my chest, let's take a quick timeout. 720 WGN. Good morning. 423. I'm Mark Harmon in for Nick D, who is off all week. And we'll have the opening bell coming up at 5 o'clock. So, President Barack Obama hosted his last Presidential Medal of Freedom ceremony yesterday. 21 luminaries going in. Michael Jordan, Bruce Springsteen, Tom Hanks, Robert De Niro, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Eloise Cobell, posthumously. One of the coolest moments, and there were a lot of them, but so Ellen DeGeneres goes in, right? Everybody knows Ellen. You love Ellen. Maybe you don't. You got to respect Ellen, one of the first prominent women to come out in that role. So I listened to what the president had to say about Ellen. I thought I would bring it to you. I thought it was just fantastic.
Ellen DeGeneres has a way of making you laugh about some thing rather than at someone, except when I danced on her show. She laughed at me. But that's okay. It's easy to forget now, when we've come so far, where now marriage is equal under the law, just how much courage was required for Ellen to come out on the most public of stages almost 20 years ago. Just how important it was, not just to the LGBT community, but for all of us, to see somebody so full of kindness and light, somebody we liked so much, somebody who could be our neighbor or our colleague or our sister, challenge our own assumptions, remind us that we have more in common than we realize, push our country in the direction of justice. What an incredible burden that was to bear, to risk your career like that. People don't do that very often. And then to have the hopes of millions on your shoulders. But it's like Ellen says, we all want a tortilla chip that can support the weight of guacamole. Which really makes no sense to me. But I thought would break the mood because I was getting kind of choked up. And she did pay a price. We don't remember this. I hadn't remembered it. She did for a pretty long stretch of time, even in Hollywood. And yet, today, every day, Ellen counters what too often divides us with the countless things that bind us together, inspires us to be better. One joke, one dance at a time.
Now, how awesome is that? And Ellen, when she was getting the medal, she looked, you know, she was emotional. You could see it all over her face. I mean, that's a huge moment, right? You're getting the Presidential Medal of Freedom and somebody is honoring your journey, your courageous journey, where you're in the public eye and you make that decision. Hey, I'm going to come out. I mean, I have no idea what that's like, but my God, it doesn't, that could not have been easy for her, right? And then however many odd years later, 20 plus years later, you're sitting there at the White House and you've had the career that she's had and you're being honored. Pretty cool. Richard Garwin, polymath physicist doing a PhD under Enrico Fermi. He was honored today. Bill and Melinda Gates and a bunch of others. We played the Michael Jordan from earlier. Lorne Michaels, that's interesting, producer, screenwriter, Saturday Night Live. Better get that medal now, baby. That was an interesting name to see on the list today. Robert Redford, Diana Ross, Vin Scully, all at the White House yesterday being honored. Just and a lot of these entertainers and sports figures have been very supportive of President Obama, so I think he probably wanted to give back in some way, too. But there's a lot of cool videos that came out of the 21 that got honored yesterday. All right, quick timeout. I'm going to bring my guy, Andy Mazur, who's in today doing sports for Dave Ennett with Pete McMurray. I'm going to bring him in here for a minute because I haven't seen Andy since the Cubs won the World Series and we were doing all sorts of shows. So I'm going to hug Andy next after the news. 720 WGN. Good morning. Happy Thanksgiving week. Great to be with you. And for Nick D tonight, I'm Mark Carmen. Wrestled my buddy Andy Mazur in, who's doing sports for Dave Ennett today, alongside Pete McMurray. Two Bradley Braves.
Oh, yeah.
You guys, did you win this week? I feel like you beat.
Just won yesterday.
Yeah, okay, let's not talk Bradley. I didn't mean to do that.
It's okay.
So, here's a question for you. 312-981-7200. I got two questions for you.
Okay, actually, talk to me.
Let's just start here. Has the World Series for you diehard Cub fans out there waking up this morning, as you just, you know, you're getting a little loose, waking up this morning, or maybe you're coming home super late, has it worn off? Have you, it was fun then, but like life is just back to normal. And yeah, they won, but like, okay, because these things, they don't last forever. I mean, it does on some level, but like you get back to normal real quick and you get back to your old slash complaining, whatever ways that you do your day. I know I do. My coffee's not hot enough. This tea's a little bit cold. Mm-hmm. And then you just forget about all the fun that you had.
These pretzels are making me thirsty.
Right. Mazur, is it worn off for you?
Let me just answer it this way. I've been filling in for Dave a little bit last week and most of this week, actually the full week. So you know how it is when your day gets kind of flipped around and you're not used to being asleep when you're supposed to be asleep. You're not used to being awake when you're actually supposed to be asleep. So I'm an insomniac regularly. It doesn't take too much for me not to sleep at night. So I've been on the iPad going Google, YouTube, give me some new stuff that I haven't seen about the Cubs celebration. I watched one the other day that showed a guy that he was a mile and a half away from Wrigley in a high rise. He puts his iPhone out the window and is rolling for like 8 straight minutes.
You watched that?
I watched the thing. And I'll tell you what, there were fireworks going off east, west, north, south. You could hear strains of Go Cubs Go. It was incredible. I mean, I'm getting goosebumps talking to you about it because I've been sitting there. I've been watching it. I watched the trophy ceremony yesterday.
Okay,
I can't get enough.
I love you. It's great. It's rare for me to get to a point where I'm actually a little bit frightened for you.
Like, it's okay.
We need a woman.
Yeah, no, definitely.
We need something.
We've known that for a long time, though. So we're not breaking any new ground here.
But like, if you were rewatching like Game 7 or whatever, I'd get it.
But see, I saw that, and I was here for that. I as we say on the radio, I cumed that.
Have you rewatched it?
I have not watched the entire game. I've watched the 10th inning.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But that was earlier after the
after
the deal. I've also watched the parts of the parade and all that because I was out of town. I left town the next morning to go to a wedding in San Diego. So I watched the parade from a friend's couch out there in San Diego on WGN America to be able to check it out.
So, okay. I mean, I'm cool. That's
yeah.
I like that you're rechecking out the parade.
Mm-hmm.
But you going full 10-minute rando dude out.
Oh, but it's incredible. You got to check it out. It's so weird to see. You can tell he had the phone set up when there was one out. And the other one that gets me all the time,
yeah.
There's a bunch of videos going around, too, where people are at ground zero, so to speak, Wrigley Field that night.
Uh-huh.
And you see the score, the marquee, and it says, you know, Cubs 8, Indians 7. And you hear people start chanting, one more out, one more out. And then all of a sudden, the scoreboard flips to Cubs win, and
right.
The place just goes up for grabs. I mean, we were sitting here in our ivory tower here.
Yeah.
And once I regained consciousness after I blacked out for about 45 seconds when it happened, it was fun to see it again. It was fun to see how it actually went down.
Right. That part is... I get it. I'm glad you're staying with it.
Yeah.
I think that's awesome.
Are you?
No.
Okay.
I mean, some.
That's all right.
It's, for me, it's more like moments.
Yeah, I hear
like,
you.
Like, the other night I was driving down Addison, and I hadn't been by the park, you know, since it's happened. Mm-hmm. And I'm driving down, and I look out. Stopped at Guthrie's beforehand.
Nice work.
Great job. I look out. I look to my left, and I'm like, there it is. There's
yep.
the marquee, and it says 2016 World Series champions.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, my God. That's so nice to look at. That's really just a beautiful moment in time. That was the first time I had seen it, so it hit me there.
Yeah.
And then it just randomly hits me at different points in time where it just reminds me that, okay, like, we don't – the whole Cubs narrative, like what Ricketts was talking about the
yeah.
other day, it's over. You don't, that doesn't exist anymore.
So I drove down there when I got back from California. So I went back there the Tuesday, almost a week after it went down. Because I'd read and watched people were signing the wall in chalk, and I wanted to go down there and see it. And, you know, me, I'm a little bit of a crazy amateur photographer. I went down there and took some photos of it. And I couldn't help but write my grandfather's name on the wall because
awesome.
He was the guy that got my dad into it, and my dad has a brick on the right field side outside the wall, and I wrote on the brick, they did it. I took a picture of it to send to him, and he was very appreciative of that. So, I mean, it was one of those kind of things where you just were kind of drawn to the ballpark, and the thing that struck me the most was the odd ages of people that I saw signing the wall and taking pictures with pictures of relatives that didn't make it to see it. And there was one part of the gate out in left field that was like a memorial almost, but it's hard to describe. It was kind of a happy thing because people were remembering good times going to the ballpark with people that hadn't made it. But it was kind of cool. It was really cool.
It's the Mecca, man.
You
got to write on the wall. I haven't written on the wall. It's I don't have that type of connection to my family around it. Like there wouldn't.
Yeah.
I don't even know who I would put on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like write it to myself at the Carm.
Yeah, at the Carm.
Congratulations.
Good times roll.
Like, you know, my dad's
dreams
still here, and he's a football guy.
Yeah.
Didn't mean anything to him. But
that's all right.
Right. And then that's exactly. But so, like, a lot of people who their biggest connection with who their grandfather,
mm-hmm.
Whoever it is,
yeah.
Who's no longer here, I think that's super, super cool to be able to write on that wall and
yeah.
have that moment in time.
That was the kind of thing that was hard to describe and get people that don't live here or hadn't lived here or grown up here to understand. I did an interview with a station in Seattle the next day, and they're trying to wrap their heads around what, you know, why we're getting so emotional about this.
Because we are.
And I had to explain. I mean, listen, it's not like it was 8 years. It's not like it was 10 years. It's not like it was even 40 years. It was four generations or three generations worth of time
right.
that had gone by that nobody had ever seen this team win a World Series.
Right.
I mean, there was no television, for goodness sakes. The last time, and you know, I think they finally get to understand it. But it, you know, to answer the original question, it has not gone away. The mystique has
clearly
not gone away for me yet. Hey, you know, I waited 49 plus years. I'm going to enjoy it. Let's put it to you that way. Until they start playing ball in spring training, I'm really going to enjoy it.
I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
And it was great.
We had a blast during those shows.
It was a lot of fun, man.
And I got to be honest with you. You know, people think sometimes that, you know, when we do radio, you embellish things and, you know, sometimes you say things just to get people to call in or whatever. But, you know, I watched you watch these games and Adam Hogue watched both of us watch these games. And even Ernie, who was in here a second ago, had to remind me of what I did after the final out was made. Because I seriously, I didn't remember. And Adam Hogue had to remind me. But it was true coming from the heart. It was all exactly the way things were feeling.
Well, one of these days I am going to go back and listen to our show after they went down 3-1. And
yeah, well, that was the positive show that got things rolling, dude. I remember we sat there and counted out how many 3-game winning streaks the team had, and it was 18.
Right.
During the year. And I remember everybody texting, oh, they're not facing blah, 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 blah. Okay, yeah, well, you know what? We weren't worried about it because Cubs had their three pitchers that they wanted to be going.
We played Won't It Be Cool When, and people called in and gave their vision of how they were going to come back and win Game 5, Game 6, and Game 7.
Yeah, and it scripted.
And that happened.
Yes, it did. See, I'm getting him riled up again. I love this.
Because
you know what he's going to do at 5 o'clock? He's going to write to YouTube. He's going to check out that video.
I got to go to work today at 8. Yeah. I think I'm just going to roll through. I might go Mazer style.
Go for it.
I might go Mazer style.
Go for it.
All right, well, good to see you, Andy.
Hey, good to see you too, Carm.
All right. Andy will be with Pete McMurray Cup this morning. I've got one more segment to go. And I got a lot that I'm going to – I got a bunch of things that I did not get to, including I learned something, a skill in dating that you might want to stick around for coming on back here. It's a great thing to do and how to get to know someone. Just a little left turn.
See, I'm trying to prepare a sportscast here. Now I'm going to have to listen.
See, I hooked you in. WGN 720, WGN, good morning. So I learned something the other night, right? You know, how do you get to know somebody in today's dating landscape, if I may, just for a moment here, right? Because everybody's on their little Tinders and Bumbles and swipe right, swipe left.com. And so you want to get to know someone, Dan Long. Like, if you don't date somebody that you say met at work or met socially, how do you really, you know, get a sense of them?
I'm listening, and I'm amazed that you're bringing this up. I was amazed when I saw this on the rundown.
What did I even put on the rundown? Let's see what I wrote. Let's see here. A new dating experience. Blackjack.
Yeah.
That's what I wrote. Right.
And I've been, not to get too, I won't, you know, bore you, but
I'm never bored by you,
about a week, maybe a week or two ago, I'm bit by the Vegas bug now. I'm trying to plan a trip to Vegas. I got to get out there.
Okay.
And, you know, blackjack, you know, I like to play a little blackjack, but it's been a while. So I've been kind of, you know, looking up, you know, basic strategy and just, to, you know, if I have a couple, you know, 45 minutes over the course of the day, I'll deal a few hands to myself and I'll, you know, play against the imaginary dealer just to lock down. Okay. When am I hitting? When am I staying? When am I splitting? When am I doubling down?
Okay, trying to simulate it. I get it.
Yeah, so just to pound it into your head and, you know, go over to Horseshoe. You'll play a couple, you know, $10 games and stuff just to rack up a few points and
sure.
Make have it a out good to Vegas next year at some point.
Okay, that's it. Have you learned anything?
No, I mean I've got the strategy down. But
I have
it
too.
The fact that you can tie
got
it
12,
into, I'm
I've got
excited about you tying it into, you know,
meeting
people.
But now I'm curious about your strategies. I have the dealer has a 2, Dan, and you've got 12. What are you doing?
12. I think you got to take the hit.
How about if he has a 4 and you've got 12?
12. I'm hitting.
You're not hitting against a 4, 5, or 6 for sure. You're probably not hitting against a 3. You may hit against a 2, just so you know. That's what the book would tell you.
Okay, that's what I'm thinking. Because that's the deal. Well, you gave me, like, dealer 2. What do I?
Well, he's got a 2. That means he's got 12. What are you going to do?
I'll surrender the hand.
Don't do that. Okay, well, here's the thing, though. So I'm on a third date, and we had a great time on date 1, had a great time on date 2. Third date, go to dinner. Afterwards, what do you want to do? Let's play blackjack. What do you mean? Well, if you win the hand, I get to ask you a question. If I win the hand, I ask you a question. So now, and like you can make like really, you can get in there, right, Dan? You can ask. I mean, it doesn't have to be like, what's your favorite color? It could be like, you know, what's your biggest insecurity or whatever's out there. Whatever you're interested in, you can push the envelope as far as you go. So it's like you're playing this game and you're having fun, a little blackjack dating game, but it's you just opened up a whole lane of opportunity to get to know someone in a fun way, and you're like, it's a license to ask questions that you really want to know, and you get to see how they respond, and then by the way, if you do play this blackjack dating game that I thought was very fun to play and very interesting, you get to learn things. Those questions are coming back at you too. So part of you feels like pressure to come up with a good question or something valuable that you actually really want to know. Don't blow the opportunity. And then the other side, it's like, oh, well, I want to give a very truthful answer because I want to show my true self, right? So I actually thought the blackjack dating game was like a sort of like a laser light quick way to further get to know someone. So I highly recommend it to the geniuses of the world that are waking up this morning at 4:52 and are single and are thinking about perhaps dating somebody or being with someone or getting married or whatever it would be at some point in their life, like my friend Andy Mazur, who was just in here. The blackjack dating game. You win the hand, you get to ask the question. You lose the hand, she asks the question. Do you like it?
I like it. I like anything that kind of drives the conversation further. Is like
right?
It takes a little bit of pressure off you to...
How do you open it up?
Do the nuts and bolts. You know?
Right. How do you open it up? How do you... And then you can... And it's also like interesting from a just standpoint, like what actually do you want to know? Like that can take a little time just to think about, what am I interested in? What would I ask? Like that was like part of it was kind of like challenging in that. Well, what do I really want to know? Anyway, I thought it was a wonderful experience, and I recommend it to all. Couple other things I didn't get to tonight, sitting in for Nick D. Thank you so much for the opportunity to sit in for Nick. Esmeralda will be here with John Hansen tomorrow and the next night, whatever night that would be. I'm working on an hour's sleep here. Have you ever been to the Cape Cod Room at the Drake Hotel? If you haven't, you got 1 month to go. It is closing down at the end of the year. It's one of my father's favorite places, the Bookbinder Soup. Just want to make mention, this is a historic place in Chicago. It's a beautiful, tiny little extravaganza restaurant, and it's going away. I saw that today just flipping through what's going on in the world, what's trending. The Cape Cod Room going away. A Chicago institution, Dan Long. The Cape Cod Room will be no longer. So get on out there. Get yourself one little trip in Chicago time. It's worth a visit if you can get in their final month of business over there at the beautiful Drake Hotel, which I can, you know, not like I'm hanging out at the Drake Hotel every day. I'm Mark Harmon and all, but I have been there a couple times throughout the life, and that took me back to the childhood, the Cape Cod Room. Like, if you have grandparents like World War II era, they love that spot if they've ever been there. It's just like it reeks of home for them. And one other thing that I did not get to tonight on the overnight, where we really covered a lot of topics. Just if you're just joining us, you missed Carmen University, which we gave away degrees to start the show. People got degrees and Dan Long has come up with a great sheet of paper, the greatest sheet of paper, most amazing sheet of paper that you'll ever get. Carmen University, not an accredited university or college. You don't get college credit. You don't get degrees. We don't grade you. None of that goes on. We gave sleeping at work. We gave a limo driver got a degree for his 36 years of service. We had somebody who got a slapping degree. That was big. We had the hashtag how to avoid politics at dinner for your Thanksgiving. That strategy was well covered. We did a lot on Fenwick and Plainfield, the court case today at 9 a.m. Fenwick should be playing in the 7A championship game. Doesn't look like they will be, but we'll see what happens today. Hello, Steve Grzanich. Good morning to you. So there was a huge upset last night. I want to wrap up with this. Did you see what happened in college basketball last night to Indiana University, Dan Long? The great IU?
I did not know.
So it was the Indiana Classic, all right? Indiana was number three in the country, okay? They're playing in Fort Wayne, Indiana, against IPFW, all right? Indiana-Purdue-Fort Wayne. I don't know how, but the Mastodons of IPFW beat Indiana last night, which will never happen again in the history of the world, but it happened last night, 71-68. So they storm the court, right? IPFW Mastodons fans going crazy, running around the court. What happens? The beauty of the internet. There's a dude that runs out there, and he is holding a bottle of bleach. Bleach! Now, he probably's got vodka in there or whatever he's got going on in there, but it's, you know, it is a tub of bleach that you would pour into your washing machine.
You know, and I saw the gif of this without any, like, context around it.
The dude's running around on the court, and he takes the bleach and just drinks it. That's right. Right down the old hatch. Bleach. So I hope that this young man is still alive. And I'm assuming that he had, maybe he just had some lemonade in there. I don't know. But I have never seen that before. You know, I get it. You sneak in your drink and whatever the way you do it. How would you ever, just thinking about that, I'm going to cleanse out this Drano bottle. I mean, wouldn't you think there'd be residue?
Yeah, I don't know if you can ever rinse out a bottle of Clorox like enough for me to want to drink out of it.
This dude is running around the court after IPFW beats Indiana with a bottle of bleach. And he's just chugging away. Yeah, baby. We beat the Hoosiers tonight. And now, so now he's being known as Bleach Man or something like that. He retweeted it. He looks fine. The Bleach Boy. But that, I've been around sports, covering sports, doing something with sports since about 6 years old, early 40s over here. I have never in the history of the sporting world ever seen some dude run out there and have the bleach bottle and say, you know what, this is how I roll. When we win, I storm the court and I'm drinking this bleach because IPFW, the Mastodons, which, does anybody know what a mastodon is here in the 30 seconds I have left? What's a mastodon?
It's like a mammoth type thing.
It's a mammoth type thing, huh? Mastodon. Animal. Mastodon. Hang on. A mastodon are any species of extinct mammitude proboscideans in the genus Mammut. It's a very large, it looks, okay, so it's like an elephant. It's basically an elephant. Great. Okay, well, I learned something at the end of the show here.